Palm City, and what are you for? In many and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Was recorded at an earlier time.
You know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio. News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. I know, Kellyanne, the kingdom of God is here. We are so excited to invite you to join us every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO for Kingdom Recovery, a cutting-edge program where we will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Can't wait to see you there. It's so exciting. Revival's in the air.
This is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine what the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring. Always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line. Hi, Alexander Delfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news brief on religious liberty news on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Of him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he is that. The precious Lamb whose blood was spilled, and as a sheep led to the slaughter, so Messiah will be led to his death, and we see him as the sovereign-hearted Savior. But now we see him in his wrath.
God is just and fair. We often celebrate his love, grace, and mercy. But justice demands an opposite outcome as well, punishment. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll helps us understand a troubling passage in which God's vengeance is on full display. John, the writer, tells us about a forthcoming moment when the Lamb of God will unleash his wrath upon humanity. How should we internalize this coming day of judgment? The title of today's message is More Seals Broken, More Lives Shaken and Taken. Chuck continues in Revelation 6, verse 9.
Seals as they are broken, the judgments as they unfold. When the Lamb, remember the Lamb is the only one qualified to take the scroll, and he now breaks the fifth seal. I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Why were they slain? Because of the Word of God, because of the testimony which they had maintained. These are believers. And they've been killed. And they cried out with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true?" Reminding him of his purity and his justice, his righteousness. How long, Lord, will you wait to bring vengeance? How long will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And the Lord says, wait. There was given to each of them a white robe. It's a beautiful reward for their lives lived in such jeopardy and danger and finally to the point of death. And they were told that they should rest. He says, wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. It's a little chilling, isn't it? Hold your place here and look at Revelation 13, which is probably the most complete chapter on this creature called the beast, or as John describes him in his letters, Antichrist. Revelation 13, verse 13, referring to the right-hand man of the Antichrist, called the false prophet. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. He gets his power, of course, from Satan himself. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, meaning the Antichrist, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Watch closely. And it was given to him to give birth to the image. So this idol comes to life, to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast will even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. He provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the 18th verse ends with 666. We've read a lot about this. You've heard a lot about this. This obviously is a form of, if you will, future credit, where if you hope to do business, sell and buy, be able to purchase your groceries, be able to have a say or a hand in the economy of the day, you need this mark that comes from the one leading the whole world system. Those who do not have such a mark will be taken. These martyrs in verses 9, 10, and 11 are asking for the vengeance that Romans 12 has promised. Don't you do your own avenging. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. This is not popular preaching. Ours is an easy day of great comfort, and God is a God of mercy and goodness and grace and love and forgiveness. He is that. He is also, to complete the picture of his character, just and holy and wrath. And they cry for that on behalf of those who whose lives have been taken. It's a very sobering thought. I'll never forget that I read that the martyrs of the 20th century outnumber all the martyrs of the 1st through the 19th in the sum of all those. Imagine. This will be a day of enormous martyrdom, but there will be vengeance. It seems as though it opens the door to the 6th seal back in Revelation 6, verse 12. I looked when he broke the 6th seal. Now watch closely. You've never heard of anything like this in your life, in your lifetime. There was, the Greek says, a seismos megas. We pretty well got those words down. Seismograph, seismographic, a shaking. See the 7th or the 13th verse, the figs were shaken. Sio is the Greek verb, and seismos comes from that root. It's translated earthquake. There was a mega shaking. This is the big one. If you were in California, you would probably heave a sigh of relief since you're thinking it's going to come tomorrow. Big ones may come, but not like this one. This is the mega seismos. There's a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. What does that mean? In the old days, sackcloth was worn by mourners. It's thick, rough fabric and black because it was made from the black wool of sheep, and coarse because it represents that which is painful, harsh. He's saying that the sun is eclipsed. John's not a scientist. This is the only way he knows to put it. It's as if you were to put a book or a piece of thick cloth between yourself and the sun and then try to see the sun. It blocks it out. And then he describes the moon becoming like blood. The ash that comes from the volcanic eruptions that are a part of this enormous earth shaking will pass across the skies and blot out, even discolor the normal color of the moon. Verse 13, John adds, the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The winds that would sweep across the Middle East would often come before the figs were ripe, and they would strip the tree of its figs, and they would fall. And that's the only way John knew to describe what he calls the skies, or the stars falling to the earth. Now, again, John is not a scientist. He's describing as it appears. Obviously, there were meteors and asteroids that he saw plunging from the blackness of space onto planet Earth. If it were a star, one would incinerate the Earth before it ever reached us because of its heat. But this is a meteor and asteroid shower that pours down on the Earth along with the tremors and the dread and the torment of the earthquakes. Of the earthquake. Look at the scene in verse 14. The sky was split apart like a scroll. Let me see if I can describe it. Ever put a diploma that you just chose not to frame in your bottom drawer and just rolled it up and tied it with a little ribbon? And one day you thought, oh, I think I'll look at that. And so you take it out of the drawer and you pull the ribbon off and you pull it apart. What happens when you let go of it? It snaps back into its rolled form. In this case, it's split apart like a scroll. It pops apart like a snap, if you will. And in that phenomenal moment, please observe, every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. Pause so let that sink in. And Naaman describes a frightful setting. He looks at the people. Do you remember, of course you do, when September 11 had come and you finished staring in disbelief at your television set, or maybe you were in New York, or you were near the Pentagon when the planes crashed. And it dawned on you, as it did on me, this is no accident, this is a planned attack. Remember the panic? Remember what it did suddenly to people? It paralyzed us. Trips were canceled. Travel was either completely canceled or certainly was postponed. Airports stopped working. They were shut down. Many modes of travel were affected, and the economy was impacted. Investors stopped releasing their money, and it threw a curve in all of the economy about us. And some say we still live in the backwash of that moment of panic when we realize this is changing everything. Can you imagine the impact of something worldwide? Now, you're better equipped to understand verse 15. He describes all the strata of life, the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders, that would be military commanders, the rich and the strong. This is describing all of those who normally would be secure in their positions, on their thrones, with their 3 and 4 stars of rank, of these people who are wealthy and never have to worry about tomorrow's meal.
This is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring. Always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line. Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news brief on religious liberty news on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there. This is WCNO Palm City, the new news
story. All our lives we thought of Him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and He is that. The precious Lamb whose blood was spilled, and as a sheep led to the slaughter, so Messiah would be led to His death, and we see Him as the sovereign-hearted Savior. But now we see Him in His wrath.
Because our God is just and fair, we often celebrate His love, grace, and mercy. But justice demands an opposite outcome as well, punishment. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll helps us understand a troubling passage in which God's vengeance is on full display. John, the writer, tells us about a forthcoming moment when the Lamb of God will unleash His wrath upon humanity. How should we internalize this coming day of judgment? The title of today's message is More Seals Broken, More Lives Shaken and Taken. Chuck continues in Revelation 6, verse 9.
Verse 9, we follow along with the seals as they are broken, the judgments as they unfold. When the Lamb, remember, remember, the Lamb is the only one qualified to take the scroll, and he now breaks the fifth seal. I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Why were they slain? Because of the Word of God. Because of the testimony which they had maintained. These are believers. And they've been killed. And they cried out with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true?"
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCLA 89.9 FM.
Welcome to another edition of The Front Line. I'm choked up here. David Frank Hoover is my name. I'm one of your hosts, and I also have the privilege and pleasure and honor, too, of having my good friend and good brother in Christ, Ed Skiba, to be my co-host.
You're a real silver-tongued brother.
I learned it from you. I'm sorry. You're my example.
It's beautiful book you've in South Florida today.
It is.
President's Day. I've got a test for you.
Okay.
What three American presidents are not buried in American soil?
That is a tough one. And I did take civics classes. But Ed, I'm 73 years old. I can't remember what I did yesterday. So how am I going to remember what I studied when I was a kid?
Well, it's very simple. The three U.S. presidents, at least three U.S. presidents, not buried on this soil, are Biden, Trump, and Obama.
Okay. Oh, my. Now, some people are already saying, well, there's a couple I'd like to be. And so, welcome. This is The Front Line, and, of course, as you know, if you've been listening a long time, the focus is we interview people during frontline ministry. And we have two guys today that are both involved in, truly frontline ministry in the Martin County Jail. They are associated with Dunkel Memorial, which is out here. So is it in Palm City, guys? Or
it's past Palm City.
Palm City. Between Palm City, Indiantown, and Okeechobee.
It's on Martin Green, almost out to 17.
Okay, and so I want to introduce at this time Sean Palminer and Tyler Ortegas. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right? Oh, man.
Close enough.
Okay, I made a mistake. Palminer?
Palminer. Yeah.
Palminer, okay. Well, okay, apologies there. Because I told you guys I have such a rotten last name that no one gets it right the first time. I'm getting sensitive to this.
I've been called a lot worse.
And me too, but I can't mention those on the air. So, Sean, you and I ran into each other here at the radio station several months ago.
Yes.
Back in 2023. And you were here representing Dunklin, talking about the ministry. And it struck me, the Lord just spoke to me then, you know, I had to have you back and to talk more about that because of how critical it is. Now, I'm going to lay out some boxes I want our listeners to check, all right? If you don't know about what God is doing in prison and jail ministry, then today is the day you can check that box. Because what Sean and Tyler are going to share is the essence of ministry to those who are incarcerated. B, if along the way in this program, God tells you you have an insensitivity to that area of ministry, then this is going to be an opportunity for you to ask the Lord to sensitize you, if no other reason than to pray for those who go into the prisons and the jails. And also, thirdly, to minister to those who come out, either in finish their sentence or in probation and parole, because it's a hard road to get back. And those are the two things that are important for you to hear today. And the third point is, and I know there's some people out there, so I'm just going to say, God's been working on you to get involved personally in prison or jail ministry. He's ready to open the doors for you. You may even know people that are doing it, may even ask you to get involved. Well, now is the time to be encouraged. All right? Be encouraged. So having said that, well, I'd like to ask both of you gentlemen to share in brief, how you met the Lord. And let's start with you, Sean.
Sure. So how I met the Lord and actually realized it would be in the jail. I can definitely look back. This 2012 is when I really came into a relationship with the Lord. It was in the Martin County Jail. But I can look back and say that was definitely not the first time I met the Lord. There was times all throughout my life where he was seeking after me, saving me, rescuing me. Long before I knew him, he definitely knew me. He was calling me by name. And I had a childhood friend that would try to, tell me about him, try to get me to go on the church bus. Fought that. Didn't think that was for me. And so it's a loaded question, but to answer it shortly, when I came into the Martin County Jail, entered into the program that me and Tyler work in today, and didn't know the Lord. I was desperate. I was down and out. Knew I was going to prison that time, and my life was just out of control. And I think that, knowing that I really had no other option to turn, I decided I might as well give it a shot with the Lord. And so it's unfortunate that he's often the last choice. They say, the only thing I have left to do is pray. But I definitely think that choosing the Lord should be our first choice, and praying should be our first choice. But in the jail is where I met him, and where the journey began.
Amen. And Tyler, what's your story, man?
Oh, wow. I think of that story where I meet the Lord, and I think, where would he meet me? Really, would be a good question. Like, I met him several times along the way. I got baptized when I think I was about 7 years old, and so I knew of Jesus. I knew who this Jesus guy was. I heard of him, right?
Yep.
I had a picture by him and all that, but I've never fully surrendered and gave my life to him and dedicated my life to him until I was in a pretty bad spot. It was, September of 2018, and where he really met me there was my life had just become totally out of control. I'll get into some more of my testimony later maybe,
sure.
But with the drinking and everything, but I found myself in a crack addiction and found myself behind a dumpster in a pretty bad part of town. And I had tried the recovery things before. I tried the NA, the AA, the CO. If it had an A, I was there. I tried it all on my own strength, really.
Yeah.
And nothing against those programs. I think they're great, but
could be an A student.
Yeah. Which I was not either. But, I was always trying. So I remember being behind that dumpster and saying, God, I know who you are, but I'm not going to say again that I will do better if you get me out of this spot. I'm going to say that I can't do it. I need you to do something, please. And he did. Throughout a sequence of events, I ended up being coordinated to Dunklin. So, just like Sean said, I think last time I came to Dunklin to stay out of jail, and now I go every day.
And those are powerful testimonies. Anybody listening today who, if you've been in any kind of addiction and you know you're lost, you're a prisoner to that addiction. But without Jesus, you ain't going to get find your way. You're going to get deeper into it and it's going to kill you. We have a scripture I want to read to you, but I try to find scripture for every program we do, and knowing who you're going to be talking with today, I went to Psalm 146, verse 5, and I just want to read that to you. And David writes, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." And, you know, so that speaks to me about any ministry that you're involved in that is going right, stepping right into the heart of the human struggle. You know, really, the addiction is, well, it's purely human. It is where sin takes over and where the person's sense of self, their sense of the future, narrows down to almost a pinpoint of darkness, not light, but darkness. And only Jesus can take them out of that prison that they're in. And so, having said that, we'll start out with Sean. We have a few minutes before we take a break. So, but I'd like you to begin talking about a kind of an overview of Dunklin Memorial, the ministry of Dunklin.
Okay. Yeah, Dunklin Memorial Church is a church that was founded in 1962 by Brother Mickey, so it's been around. We're actually having our homecoming the end of this month or beginning of next month, celebrate, I think, 62 years of being in existence. But it just started out, you know, helping alcoholics primarily in the 60s. Alcohol was going to be met, and Brother Mickey decided he was going to throw a tent out in the middle of the swamp, and he was going to see if he showed up. And people showed up, and, you know, it started small, where they, you know, took a couple guys in, and progressed throughout the years. Different drug addictions have been prevalent, from crack cocaine to, you know, painkillers and opiates and meth and all that. So it's progressed over the years, the population that we've helped. But we have about 65 beds there now. Guys are calling each day trying to get help, and we're grateful to be a place that can provide help. And we don't take insurance. We work with the financial part. It's really more so about helping the guy than it is about do they have enough money to get there. So we definitely welcome anybody who is struggling that needs help. Not worry so much about the finances, but, you know, just worry about getting their help. So it's a unique program. It's set up to teach a guy to look at his life. We've got six different parts of the program that you go through, and every staff member that oversees the classes has been through addiction and through the program themselves at one point and is in recovery. So getting back to the guys, we understand right where they're at and what they're going through, and we really just try to teach them that there is a different way of life, that although they've lived a certain way for so long, that they can break the cycle. Jesus and will break the cycle if they will submit to him.
Amen. And that's true no matter what holds you back from being the person God wants you to be. And if you don't have Jesus, you're being held back, and that's just the truth of it all. You may not think so. And that's one of the first lies of the devil that you bought. But anyway, I want to move forward, and we're about ready for a break. A few minutes.
So after the break, I'd like to ask Sean to do something. You made a statement, and you said a lot of the people, the facilitators, the people teaching the classes are in recovery. I'd like you to flesh that out a little bit, because people think, well, I had an addiction, I went through the program, now I'm recovered. Are you ever really recovered? And let's talk about that when you come back. Will you?
Yes, most definitely.
You bought a car, you filled your tank for the first time, and you don't have to fill it again?
No, there you go.
Same deal. We'll be right back. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCMU 89.9 FM.
Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to the front line. We have as our guest today, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, Sean Palmeter.
Yes.
Is that right?
A lot closer.
A lot closer, and Tyler Ortegas.
Yes, sir.
From Dunklin Memorial Church, and we're going to get to the ministry in a minute, but Ed had a very cogent question that he asked during the break.
We talked about the people that are facilitating these classes being in recovery. We would think that, well, they should have been all the way through recovery in order to be able to teach the class. But that's a misconception that a lot of people have about addiction and about the effect it has on a person's life. Mm-hmm. So I'd like you to talk about that a little bit more, about when, if ever, you really feel completely recovered, or is it a lifelong process?
Correct. That's a very good point. So I was just sharing with the guys in the jail this morning how I can sometimes have this finish line mentality where I feel like I got to check the boxes off, I got to reach the end, and you know, even in recovery, everybody, including myself, you know, I want to go through a program, I want to be a changed man, and then I want to not have to worry about it anymore. And yes, I believe that we are changed. The moment I enter into a relationship with Christ, receive Him as my Savior, I believe in His eyes I'm changed. But then the lifelong process of my mind being renewed and lining up with God's truth and who He says I am, you know, is something that keeps me humble to know that I'm not at the finish line, and know that none of us that are teaching the lessons, we tell the guys all the time, listen, we don't have the answers. We don't have it all figured out. We're walking this thing out right along with you. We may be have a little more time under our belts, but the only thing that's different is, you know, the time. But, you know, we all need Jesus. He's the one that has the answers. We don't have the answers, and our goal is to point the men towards Christ. So, yeah, definitely, you know, Paul talks about, you know, in Philippians 3 that, that we don't consider ourselves to have apprehended or to finish or reach this goal, but that we press on towards the upward call of Christ Jesus. And so, you know, that's one of our memory scriptures, and that's one of the things that we definitely, it keeps me humble, and going in the jail every day reminds me of where I come from. So it's a good question.
Those scriptures are the reinforcing element that we have as Christian believers going through a recovery process. Yes. I really feel for secular people that are trying to go through recovery but don't have the spiritual aspect to fall back on.
Yes.
They must have such a struggle, so we need to keep them in prayer too.
I throw out now for your consideration, Jesus told many parables, and there's one he told about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and they're both before the presence of God, and they're both there to pray, right? But then the Pharisee looks at the tax collector and says, well, God, I thank you, I'm not like that, scabbard of sinner, right? And already you begin to see what Jesus is talking about is that we have to be careful not to falsely elevate ourselves above other people just because we aren't doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the church, I'm going to use, this is a global indictment, I'll even include myself in it, and during a season and even my new life in Christ 40-some years ago, is that I, and by the way, I was a practicing alcoholic back then, but I would say, you know, gosh, these alcoholics, drug people, look at them, they're dirty, they're filthy, the worst case scenario, they live with those homeless, they talk bad, they're angry all the time, they smell bad. You know, I'm not like them. You know, and 40 years later, because I'm 20 years sober now, praise God, but the Lord said, no, you're not like them. I mean, yes, you are like them, and you got to get off your own horse and begin to do what I want you to do, everybody that you believe you're better than, because you ain't. Of course, God didn't use that kind of grammar. I did. Everybody write in and say, you think God does bad grammar? No, he doesn't. But the point is that we have listeners right now that are hearing this for the first time and are shocked. I know who you are. And by the way, listeners, if you want to call in, if you have a question for either or both of our guests today, or you want to make a comment, you can call us at 772-221. I was thinking with inflation, the two became the four, I'm sorry. 221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Now, I'm a one-band band today in terms of staff. So when the phone rings, I have to go answer it, which means Ed becomes your primary co-host, or your primary host.
And a lot of trust there.
A lot of trust there. Ed's a good guy. I know what he's doing. I'll be happy to answer the phone, and if it's a no-go, if it's somebody calling to try to sell us insurance or whatever, then I'll still have to come back. But if you want to call, particularly, and especially, and let me lay this out for you, listener. We have people listening today. You probably want to turn the radio off a couple of times. Seriously, because you're in a war right now between God and the devil. You're in an addiction, whatever it might be. Alcohol, drugs, sex, and its worst permutations, porn. You may be horrible things. You may be a thief. You may be a murderer. I don't know. And we won't ask you to tell us what your sin is, but if you want to call for prayer, we have four guys here that would love to, over the air, without mentioning names or any of the other stuff, if you call for prayer, we'll pray for you.
If you have an urge to turn the phone, turn radio on because of what you're hearing, we call that conviction, and it comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's exactly who's nudging you, and because he loves you so much, he wants you to listen to what's being said and realize it.
And if you even got time in jail or prison, I know that from doing this prison ministry for many years, it's not the greatest place on the earth to live. However, hell is even worse. And if you don't come to Christ in this life, that's what you have to look forward to. So anyway, having said that, again the number 772-221-1100. I want to throw it back. I want to ask Tyler, and you've been going into the jail, Martin County Jail.
Yes, sir.
An old guy, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, okay. I'll get that. By next year, I'll have it down, bro. So tell us, I would love you to dig back, because you met the Lord before you started all this, and you were still a new baby Christian, for the most part growing in your faith. What struck you as you started going back to the jail to bring Christ? What struck you in the viability of that ministry? What you saw happen in the lives of those people?
Absolutely. Working out at Dunklin it was beautiful out there. I don't know if you've ever been out there. Beautiful green trees and fields, and you got trees, and I enjoyed it out there. And when I was asked to join the jail ministry, my first thought was, do I really want to go in and stare at four walls all day? At first, didn't want to quite go, but I know that Jesus doesn't really like negotiating too much. So I went, when I went in there and I saw these men that just in the spot that they're in life, it can be a very hopeless, desperate spot that they're in. And so they were apprehended, right? We're all apprehended and well, and they've literally been apprehended. And I just saw that I've never done a lot of jail time. Let me say that. I did a couple of days in jail total. So I was thinking maybe I'm not qualified to go into the jail. But then I realized, the circumstances may be different, but the answers are always the same.
Absolutely.
And I just saw these men that had never really had a chance in life sometimes. Some of them really haven't had a chance. The terrible upbringings, things of the sort, and just it's really kind of some of these guys' first chance in life. And I realized what a great honor it was to get to present the gospel to these men and present the truth that I knew. That was presented to me. And it doesn't matter the place that you do it in, it's that you're obedient to God and Jesus you go, and you do it.
Amen.
And then seeing these guys' lives transformed and seeing some of them really just getting a hunger for the Lord Jesus while they're in there and deciding to, you know, go places after their release and, you know, continue their journey with the Lord, it's been the most rewarding thing ministry-wise we've ever done.
You're both, because you do a pastor's ministry, and you're saying really both pastors. And another, in the course of my involvement in prison ministry in the early days of my ministry, after receiving Christ Jesus, was that when I would go into Avon Park Correctional as a volunteer chaplain's aide on Sundays for about a year and a half, and maybe 2 years. So I really had a great opportunity to meet a lot of people that I was not able to wander the compound for good reason, you know, but I stayed at the chapel, but many of them came by, and some of them, you know, got to meet all of the guys who were regular chapel people. Now, and what I've, people that don't understand what God's doing in jails and prisons, it seems like they always go to the negative. And one of the negative things is, oh, aren't all those people just trying to ride the Bible out of prison?
There you go.
You know? And, you know, the truth is, yeah, there's a handful maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming up for parole. They have to look good. So they check those boxes. Yes, I've done AA. I'm in it right now. Yes, I've gone to the chapel. I'm singing in the choir, or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But I know some of them, they're just doing it once they get out. You know, in fact, when I was at Avon Park, we had a guy that was in the program, I really thought this guy had Jesus, right? And so he comes to the time, parole, he gets parole. Lo and behold, a month later, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
What put him in there is he stole a tanker truck of gasoline.
Mm.
What got him back in there is he stole a rental car. So anyway, bottom line is, yeah, some people do that. But like Jesus in the parable of the, you know, the shepherd with, you know, the 99 sheep that didn't run away and the one that did. The example is that Jesus always goes back for the one that ran away. And in prison ministry, that parable is paramount, mm-hmm. isn't it? So talk about that, guys, because that's your focus.
Yeah, I would say, you know, jail ministry is definitely not for the faint of heart as far as, you know, you're not going to go in there and have these guys tell you a bunch of things that you want to hear. A lot of times there's resistance, there's walls, there's... You know, and I always say it takes a knucklehead to help a knucklehead. So the Lord has me there for a reason. And, to confess, I can get discouraged at times because I see some of the guys come back.
Yeah.
And I know the officers, you know, we talked about being in the secular world, and, you know, some people, you know, going through life without the Lord. I get discouraged, and I can get kind of bitter at times and go through seasons where I get frustrated. And I'm grateful that I have the Lord to go to help me kind of walk through that. And I mean, hey, that was you at one point. And just really slowed me down and just be grateful, you know, if one person is saved, that's all that matters. Like, you know, Luke 15 talks about, you know, the lost son and
yes.
the lost coin and the lost sheep and all that. And, you know, if one is saved, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told, Mr. Hugh out of Dunklin, he tells us that if we can't take credit for the successes, then we can't take credit for the failures.
Right.
And so I've learned that we're in there really just to plant seeds. Mm-hmm. And my job isn't to change anybody. Me and Tyler go in there, and the rest of us go in there to plant seeds. And mm-hmm. some seeds take a little longer to grow than others. Some seeds yes. might produce right then and there. Some seeds, it might be 5 years down the road that they realize and they think about what took place in that setting, and the light bulb goes off. But really, God is the one that opens the eyes, and all we can do is point them towards them.
And that's what any of us is all about.
The scripture says, how can they hear if they don't have a teacher?
Amen. Right. And this is, and again, we have to be careful when we use words like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will think the word teacher, oh, well, that's a professional.
Yeah.
I'm not a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And look, when you go out in the world and without thinking, you take actions That teaches people. And maybe it's not a good action. Or maybe it is. It's a great action. You don't even know it. You're just doing it. If you're in Christ and you hear what he says and you're out there just, no words, you're just doing it.
Yep.
You're preaching the gospel. You're teaching. You're doing discipleship training. So the point is get past, you ain't qualified.
Yep.
Every prophet in the Old Testament had the same argument, right? God, I can't do this. You must have been talking to somebody right next to me and I overheard you. No. God knows your heart.
Yep.
What did he say to Jeremiah? Before you were born, I formed you. I knew exactly what you were going to be. You were going to be a prophet to the nations.
Yep.
God knows. Get off of that. You know, get away from that. Anyway, all right, I'm preaching. We have to go to a little break. Be right back.
Luann, revival's in the air. I know, Kellyanne, the kingdom of God is here. We are so excited to invite you to join us every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO for Kingdom Recovery.
A cutting-edge program where we will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power.
Can't wait to see you there.
It's so exciting. Revival's in the air.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back. We are back. We had a little void there. it's just me, I guess. The Lord knew who I was when he called me to this ministry, but we had a nice little conversation here. Of course, I started it, and I was talking a lot, as I often do. My wife will tell you I do that, and it's true. But enjoying our fellowship and our sharing. We're back. This is The Front Line, and we are interviewing, I'm going to mention Tyler first. Tyler Ortegas and Sean Palmeter. Both involved with Dunklin Memorial Church, both involved in the ministry, the outreach to Martin County Jail. And if by now, we still invite you to call in there about half an hour before we go off the air, 772-229-1100. If you have a question or comment, or if you need prayer, or if you need to pray for somebody, you don't mention their name, but just you want to use some prayer with the body of Christ during you, now's a great time. Before we go any further, we've talked before that Dunklin Memorial Church, and it's a tremendous ministry, and you're going out, but there are people that will come out of the jail or the prison who will become part of the ministry. They will be residential for a while, and they will receive a tremendous, enriched experience of meeting Jesus and having, and not being forced to, but being presented lovingly with the opportunity to receive him if they haven't already and to live a life in Christ. Now, that takes money. It takes good money. And for that, really, you have supporters. Now, so I want to ask this question. Both of you can, I don't care who, but how can people donate to the Dunklin Memorial Church ministry? And I'm going to ask you, is there a separate fund that pays you guys, because I know you're full-time in this, and you know, people don't just throw stuff at you, and you don't, you know, get electricity for free and all this, because you're doing the Lord's work. So is there a separate donation opportunity for people to make sure you guys can do this?
Yeah, so we have a website, dunklin.org, www.dunklin.org, and you can go on there, and there's a spot to donate, and there is different categories. You can choose, you know, if you want to donate like a tithe, or you want to donate to a specific fund. A need that Dunklin has, they have a drop-down menu that will let you select from those different needs. So yes, if you want to specify it towards jail ministry or towards the program, or even we have a lot of buildings out there, so we do our best to try to upkeep and maintain the construction of the building. So there's all sorts of different ways that you can give. And then the phone number for Dunklin is 772 597-2841, 772-597-2841, and you can always call and talk to somebody there if you want to donate, or if you're interested in the program, or you just want to know more information, somebody would be glad to take your call.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you're a listener and you're recovering, and been there so for a little bit, and maybe you didn't come through Dunklin, but you're hearing something today that's very exciting to you. Maybe God is touching your heart to get involved. Are there volunteer opportunities?
As far as the jail ministry, most definitely. And out at Dunklin, we try to have people that are going to teach out of Dunklin go through the training and all that before they teach. But they're more than welcome to call if they have a need and God's putting it on their heart. We don't want to get in the way of that. And definitely with the jail ministry, there's some steps to go through as far as being approved to be able to come in. But there's always a need. The Bible says the field is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So there's always a need, and there's plenty of different places that could probably definitely love an extra hand or help any type of way.
I would imagine so. And of course, the other scripture that comes to mind is Jesus speaking about the fact that there are already souls ready to be harvested, and the fields are ripe for the harvest. And that's true today.
Amen.
And they're both out there in the world where you go, and they're also in jails and prisons and other types of facilities like that. Okay, I want now, God has just encouraged me to ask both of you a question. You hopefully may have different answers, or not opposing answers, but between the two of you. So I'll start with you, Taylor, if I may. But now, let me just say, let's put you on the spot, brother. But if it doesn't come quite up, then John can jump in, because always, and we do this here, is we have people that come by and then we meet them, and then we're prompted to ask, what is one thing I can pray about in terms of your ministry? And particularly, because you go in all the time, you're seasoned professionals, if you will, in this ministry, what would you tell our listeners if there's just one thing, there's probably more than one thing, that you would ask the body of Christ to pray for in terms of A, your particular ministry in the Martin County Jail, and B, what you know is going on in the larger framework of prison and jail ministry? What do you see God wanting to do, or what is God doing that still needs prayer?
I would say just prayer for receiving open hearts, and I think the divine order of the family, mm-hmm. where it needs to be back in line, how it needs to be, and that we deal with men,
mm-hmm.
Who are supposed to be the head of their house, after God. And in order to do that, they need to really get out of denial and be willing to receive the truth. A lot of these guys had somebody speak in truth in love, maybe some truth, but we try to do it in love, and I would say that's the main thing, that the Lord just keeps bringing men that are open, willing to receive, and really just step up for their duties as a godly man.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, before you jump in, Sean, I'm sure you have something a little different, but we're coming more and more these days to an awareness that as the church, we are, as we reach out and Jesus brings people to himself through the ministries that we have, that there are men who have never known what it means to be, A, the head of the household, as scripture defines that, and B, a father.
Mm-hmm.
And they're intertwined, of course. And what you just touched on something that's critical is when men come to Christ, is they also need to be restored to being the kind of father God intends for them to have. What has been the experience at Dunklin with that aspect of ministry? Is that part of what you do with men when they come into the program?
As far as the restoration?
Restoration, well, the role of the father is the head of the household, scripturally.
Right, so, we go through Ephesians 5 is where we